Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Lifting your voice and declaring this new day, for I'll cause you to go forward. into a new way. You'll leave this place in a new way, a new strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you. Hallelujah, Yahshua. Thank you, mighty Lord, mighty God. Praise you, Jesus. What an awesome, awesome God we serve. Good God. Merciful God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Amen. Well, shalom, shalom. My brother and my sister, welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your holy brother in Christ, Brother L.V. Zapata. Thank you, Lord. We thank God for the opportunity to share his word. Hallelujah. One last time more. Amen. Thank you, Lord, helping over the last. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Praise you, Yahshua. What an awesome God we serve, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. I've been seeking the Lord a week long, just asking the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus, for his revelation, my brother and sister. And he is merciful. Hallelujah. He gave me a mighty revelation this morning, which I'm going to share this afternoon. Praise you, Lord. He is so good. Hallelujah. But at the same time, hallelujah, a very difficult time. And when I say difficult, you will understand once I go into the revelation of the Lord. Why do I say it was a difficult time? Because he took me this morning to the great tribulation, and it was not pretty. But before the Lord did take me there, he spoke with me, in which he gave me great encouraging word, my brother and sister. And his word is, he's taking his people out. He's taking his people out, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And he didn't say soon. He didn't say soon. Okay? Because if he were to say soon, that means we have to wait a long time. No. The Lord, my brother and sister, I thank him for his mercy and grace. Hallelujah. But the Lord began to talk to me about what we've been talking about in the Lord's Hour, and it's the Bicene, my brother and sister. Amen. And before I share everything the Lord says to me in regard to us going home, which is exciting that we don't have much to go, my brother and sister, there was the word the Lord used before he brought me back into the house this morning. It was so real. It was something that my wife said. She turned around. She didn't see me in bed. She thought I was in the bathroom this morning. I was away. The Lord took me away in my body, I believe, more than 3 hours this morning into the great tribulation, my brother and sister. And it was a difficult time there, because he took me there and put me there with a group, a brother and sister that I knew that end up staying behind, my brother and sister. And the Lord says to me that the warning, the word he has given me to give to his people, he says, they are mine, and I will demand of them that will not believe and will stay behind. my brother and sister. He says, the word I have given you to give out to the people, I will demand of them, he says. My brother and sister, praise the Lord. Let me go into the word first, and I'll begin to share what I saw and what I experienced, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Because believe me, I was running for my life when I was there. Romans chapter 1, listen to Romans 2, verse 23. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man, to bird and four-footed beast and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to the son of their own body among themselves. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them unto the vile affection. For even their woman changed their natural use into which that is against nature. Likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning the lust one to another, man with man, working out what is unseemly, and receiving themselves under recompense for their error, which was meet. My brother and sister, the great tribulation, as the Lord has shown me before, is about to start. The world, the vaccinated world, is going into the great tribulation. This morning, I will say about, I don't know if it was from 2 in the morning or 2 something in the morning, which I finished my prayer, but he took me into the great tribulation, my brother and sister, and he spoke with me and ministered to me and says, my son, I am taking you out. And when he said you, he meant his children. He's taking us out. You will not be here no more, he says. This is how the Lord spoke to me. You will not be here no longer, he says. And I'm listening to the Lord quietly. I can hear his audible and powerful voice. He was next to me, my brother and sister. And he says, you will not be here no longer. I am taking my children, taking us out. He reminded me when I was in the class in that revelation a few days ago and showed me the darkness was taking over the earth. And for that reason, he was removing us from the earth. That was a sign that he has spoken. My brother and sister, Joel 2:28 and on, the sun, Shalom Sister Luna, will turn into darkness, and the moon will turn into blood. When he took me into the great tribulation, the sun was dark, and the moon was blood. The reflection of the bloody moon in a darkened sun is how people had to live now for 7 years. A great tribulation, like the world had not seen before, like they had not seen before, they'll never see again. It's going to be terrible, my brother and sister. But the Lord says to me, I asked the Lord for several occasions afterward. He had already confirmed it to me twice. He first gave it to me. Remember the dream my wife had of her brother changing into a beast? Well, then he gave me the same dream. Then talking to the Lord, asked him to please, because I said that all the vaccinated will be turned into a beast. That was his word. And so this morning, again, he spoke it to me and said, I'm going to show you that all the vaccinated will turn into beast. Not the same beast, different beast. But to my surprise, I did not only see human that have been changed into beasts. I saw animals, like dogs, that are being vaccinated now with COVID-19 vaccines. Change, my brother and sister. But to prove to you that this is nothing new, my brother and sister, it is nothing new. My brother and sister have corrupted not just men, but also have corrupted animals. The Bible says in Genesis 6:11 that the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was full of violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. All flesh had corrupted this his way on the earth. All flesh. And that includes animal. Now listen to this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh that come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And then, hallelujah, it told him, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He said he will destroy men and beast. Hallelujah. I will destroy men who I have created, verse 7, from the face of both men and beast, the creeping thing, the fall of the ear, for I have repented that I have made them. Very clear in his word that everything on this earth, Shalom Sister Renee, are corrupted right now. My brother and sister, I heard online that they have found COVID-19 on whales and shark. My brother and sister, everything that you and I know is corrupted, is contaminated. Everywhere they find COVID-19, they're going to inject their evil, wicked poison, a brother Flower says, by sin. It's truly a poison, my brother and sister. The Lord gave me a word, which I'm going to share, to help me explain what's happening with the vaccine. This is the word Jesus spoke to me, audible and very clear. They alter the DNA. They alter the DNA. I had an idea what the word alter mean, because the word change is what I understood it meant. So when Jesus spoke this morning to me of what they have done through the vaccine to the DNA, not just a human, everything we know, okay? They alter the DNA, DNA alteration. Alter means, the meaning is to change, adjustment, adaption, modifications, variation, conventions, my brother and sister, which is alter, my brother and sister. And so it's exactly what the Roman did. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God, which man is made in the image of God, into the image made like corruptible man, my brother and sister, which they use the word man here, but it's, okay, so to bird and four-footed beast, creeping thing, and it gives you a whole list of what they were doing. This is a change of human DNA. The Romans were already doing this, my brother and sister. They did it in the times of Noah, in the times of Lot. And so it will be, Jesus said to the apostle Luke and the apostle Matthew, at the coming of the Son of Man. My brother and sister, the Lord Jesus has given them the chance to repent. The Lord explained to me this morning and said, as he said to me last year, 2020, some of you that are here on the Lord's Hour heard me when I said, last year from God, when the Lord brought me into the end of 2020, that we were here as witness only. Okay? That job to us is ending. This is it. Our witnessing job my brother and sister, our temporary, our short-time witnessing job, it's over. The church is going to disappear, my brother and sister. And the Lord has spoken it to a different prophet, that this is it, my people. You're coming home. I'm taking you home. Very clear, my brother and sister. We thank God for this. We thank God. We thank the Lord. But Jesus says to me this morning that our witnessing, my brother and sister, is ending. This is the end of our witnessing. He's taking us out, my brother and sister. So the Lord is speaking to me about the word he's been giving me on the Lord's Hour. And he says he's going to hold accountable those that have heard the word but have not believed it. Shalom, Brother Miguel. And that will stay behind in this great tribulation. He took me for over 3 hours to the great tribulation this morning. When he set me there, I know I was here in the United States. I was trying to recognize the city where I was, where the Lord left me or took me to. I find myself in an attic with a group of brothers and sisters, as I would call them, right? There was a sister there that was telling me how they could not go outside. They were hungry and that they would have to go get food, but they would have to climb through the wall because of the beast and them that had changed, she said to me. I said, can you explain it to me? I said to her. And she said, where do you come from? Are you new? Do you come from another state? Where have you been? She says to me. How do you explain to someone in the great tribulation who is hiding from these beasts outside that the Lord just brought me there and I'm there to witness or take part just for a little? How do you explain that? I looked at her and I didn't think I needed to go into an explanation. But she said, by the way, just listen. She was telling me. We were looking through a window. We were hiding in the dark part of the house. Up, I believe it was like in the third floor. And we're looking because some of the beasts had come out and attacked some of the people. But I didn't got to see that. When the Lord brought me there, the beast went into hiding. And I'm in there in the attic with these people. And I'm looking at them. It was a group, maybe a 15, 16 of them, hiding in the attic. And I was even thinking if the attic was safe for all of us to be there. But she was telling me that it was time to cross to the other side through all those walls that were in between. Go up the attic, come down to the wall. The wall was about 14 feet. And get to the other part of the city to get some food, if possible, if we can find some. One thing, when the Lord was taking me there, it was about a few months as he was taking me there that had passed after the rapture. He let me see the months that went by after the rapture, very clear. And he also, this is a confirmation to me, that after a few months of the rapture, people that are vaccinated are going to change. My brother and sister, all these by seeing that has been made according to Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, they alter our DNA. They change our DNA. And they were made, these by seeing were made specifically to change people. My brother and sister, and the outcome of them are the people will be changed into beasts. Not every beast will be the same. Now, as we were there, I thought that some of the beasts that we were going to encounter were werewolves, because I had encountered them before in the Great Tribulation. But I didn't think that the beasts we were watching for were animal like dogs that had grown 3 and 4 times of their sight and turn ugly, because these dogs are vaccinated right now, or they're being vaccinated right now. They're not only going to bassinate people. They're going to bassinate bird, dog, every kinds of animal that you can think of being bassinated, wild animal, of being bassinated right now. The Antichrist, the Babylonian system, it is to do that exactly. My brother and sister, it's what they want to get accomplished. The Bible says in 2 Kings 24:11, this is in the time of Jeremiah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against a city, and her servant besieged it. And Joachim, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon. He and his mother, his servant, his princess, his officer, the kingdom of Babylon, looked him in the 80 years of reign. He carried away all Jerusalem, all Jerusalem. Are you listening? And all the princes and all mighty men of Elam. Even 10,000 captive and all the craftsmen and men, none remain save the poorest of the people of the land. My brother and sister, this is what they're doing. This is this Babylonian Antichrist plan that no one should escape. As they did in the times of Noah. They made sure that all the people were vaccinated. And there were people like Noah and his family that refused to be vaccinated. The persecution was there to the point where God had to close the ark door. And he closed it with violence, my brother and sister. Okay? The door right now is being closed like it was in the times of Noah. In other words, my brother and sister, they'll be on their own in this great tribulation. They're going to be changed. And like King Nebuchadnezzar, Shalom Rachareti, they will be like beasts. Okay? What's in the mind of these people? Okay? And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, that every imagining of their thoughts in their heart was only evil continuously. Why are they so evil continuously? Because at this moment, they have been changed to beast. And beast don't think like human. Okay? They don't meditate. They don't plan. Whatever's in their mind and heart, they do. My brother and sister. They're not, when these beasts have in their mind, like I saw, finally, one of the men that was with that is not in that house decided to cross first. Since I had not crossed, and I was not aware if the other one crossed, God came out of the window from the attic and crossed to the other side. This young man in his 20s said, well, I'm going to cross. I'm hungry. And I have an 8 for days, he says. So he climbed down from the attic into the wall. He says, I don't see none of them. And when he jumped to try to outrun them, one of them came out. That's when I saw this one. It was like a dog. It was not a werewolf. It was an animal that has been changed, transformed into a horrible beast. His face looked horrible. My brother, just horrible, horrible, scaring, looking, ugly, like you're not even imagining. His teeth were long. His canine teeth was long, bigger. My brother and sister, when it grabbed this young man's leg, he thought he could outrun it, and it grabbed his leg, and I saw when this beast shook his head and broke the leg in two pieces. This man screamed so loud that I think the entire neighborhood heard him. And the woman that was next to me screamed so loud also that I had to tell her, please don't do this again. Because your scream right now can alert the other ones that are hiding. And you're putting us in danger. And the other men agree and women agree with me. She screamed and she said, did you just saw what this beast just did to him? And I said, yes, we saw him, but you cannot scream this way. Cannot be scared this way. I said to her, And I'm thinking in the Great Tribulation, oh, no, I've been put in here again to go through this. My brother and sister. This morning, my wife turned around. She didn't see me in bed. She thought I was in the bathroom. I said, I was away for over 3 hours. 3 hours the Lord took me there for. I must be a witness to come and tell you, but believe me, it was not pretty. Okay? Yes. Thank you. I knew it sounded familiar. Quiet Place movie. If you have not seen the Quiet Place movie 1 and 2, you got to see it. Because that's exactly what we were going through. You have to be quiet. Okay? One thing I noticed as I look at this beast dog is that they have a great thirst for me, hungry for me, for meat and blood. They just want me. Okay? And it's like quickly, whatever animal is up there that is not changed, they go and devour it. What meat are they going to leave for human? They're very hungry for meat. And they go after everything or anything they see. And I went outside the wall. It's about 12, 14 feet, I say. And one of the beasts was jumping, trying to grab me. I noticed that it could jump like, you know, dog can jump 10 feet in the air. And I noticed it can jump 10 feet in the air, close to even 11 feet. But I was up 14 feet up in the air. So it was trying to grab me, and I can see the teeth. Very aggressive. And man, did I understood this Genesis that I just read to you, my brother and sister. Their mind, their thoughts, their heart is evil continuously. Kill, steal, and destroy. Devour the person. They can smell you. I'm not sure they can see you. I was trying to determine as I saw them if they can see you. But I know as they are in the wood hiding, okay, and one or two can come easily out of time against you. Also, I noticed they're very fast, my brother and sister. For some reason, they are fast. And again, in order to survive, they had to eat meat. In order for them to stay alive, they're strong. And they are aggressive. Aggressive like you not even imagine. And when they go after you, it's wherever they can grab your leg, your arm, whatever. You have to defend yourself with anything you can grab, a piece of wood, whatever. Okay? Anything that you can put between you and them, my brother and sister, if you can put steel between you and them, it will be great. Okay? But they're horrible. Beast and aggressive, and they can smell you. I noticed that when I was still and not moving, I will be fine. But I believe I spoke or someone spoke, and immediately they can follow sound. That's how I was trying to determine whether they are blind, my brother and sister. Because I noticed that if we were not moving, we were very high. But if we were not moving, like in Quiet Place, it's like they cannot see where you are. But in the moment you move, my brother and sister, they can smell you. They can hear you. Sounds, I believe, is mostly what they go by, my brother and sister. And again, in that time, if people have a gun, it's precious because you're defending your life. You're defending yourself. My brother and sister, the fear there, my brother and sister, is tremendous. Okay? And yes, wolf has incredible sense of smell, which it's, and they can hear far, yes. And so I was surviving for my own life because I'm like, oh, no, I'm here now. I'm with these people. Now I got to run. I got to be safe. I'm running for my life. And of course, you see women, you see young men, you don't want to leave them behind. You want to help people. But how much can you help people? It's the question. How much can you help them? My brother and sister, it's terrifying to be in there. I kid you not, it's terrifying. And you're hungry. And you want to have some food like normal human being. And food is hard to find. And in order for you to find food now, you have to fight these beasts or kill them one way or another. And the young man, he was unprepared. He didn't have nothing in his hand to fight them or anything. He thought he could outrun them, my brother and sister. And that's even worse when you think you can outrun these beasts. And when the beast caught his leg in two, he was trying to defend himself with everything on the floor he could grab, anything that he can hit it with or try to control it. But I noticed it was very strong. A simple dog sometimes you can fight. But when a dog changes it to three and four size, bigger than what it is and stronger, how do you overpower this unless you have a shotgun or probably running with a truck or something? The idea is you're trying to survive. You cannot outrun it. I noticed this young man in his 20s, he probably ran fast as normal, but he could not outrun it. When he came down that wall, he ran for it. And I noticed how quickly this beast came and grabbed his leg, my brother and sister, and just cut it in two. And the beast was eating the leg. The piece that it got in his mouth, it was eating it. It was breaking it with his teeth and just... So that piece of leg was going to keep him busy. It was half of his leg. Looks like it was going to keep him busy. He was very hungry. But then we noticed the other beast was coming. And so... We couldn't even come down from the attic. Like, none of us were there and say, well, I'm going to come down and try to protect him or stop these other beasts from eating him. No, now we have to let him be eaten, my brother and sister. Maybe that would have kept him busy for the rest of us to escape and go get some food. So that's kind of what I was planning. I was next in line to outrun these beasts. After being in the attic for about 3 hours and trying to outrun the beast and noticed that one of them smelled me and hurt me and came down to the bottom of the wall where I was climbing. I was trying to do the same. I was thinking maybe if they're busy eating, maybe I can outrun them myself and go see what's on the other side. I climbed to the roof of the house. I was looking. I can see as far as I can see. I was trying to find out what city was I in, if I was in New York, New Jersey, or what state was I in. I couldn't even tell what state I was in. I know I was in the United States, but I could not tell you which city it was. I thought I was in Union City, New Jersey. Then I'm looking. No. Then I noticed no, because it was not tall building. Maybe there was tall building in maybe it was in Elizabeth, New Jersey, Jersey City, New Jersey, New York. I don't know where I was. I was trying to see building that I'm familiar with or signs or the name of the street that I can go ahead and identify and then come and tell you. But I could not see those things. I noticed that the city had power outages. There was no power and no home, my brother and sister. The power outage will go as far as I can see. There was absolutely no power for anyone. Now, if you had a generator running, gas generator, electric generator, it doesn't matter if you had any of these things running, that would alert these beasts. And they would have come and destroy it and try to get to you. So having a generator is useless, worthless in a time like this, my brother and sister. But the Lord says to me very clear, all vaccinated will change, he says. All vaccinated will change. And to whatever beast they are going to change, my brother and sister, that is different now. That is different. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar, he carried all Jerusalem, all the princes, all the mighty men of Elah, even 10,000 captives, all the craftsmen and smiths, none remain, says the poor of the people of the land. He carried away Joachim to Babylon, the king of the mother, the wife, and the list go, and all the men, verse 16, 9, 7,000 of craftsmen and men, 1,000, all who were strong and active word, even these kind of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. And it's all. So the king was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maruta, Hamata, the daughter of Jeremiah Lefna. Okay? And he did that which was evil on the sight of the Lord according to all that Joachim has done. For through the anger of the Lord had come to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, so he had cast them out of his presence, so that he had rebelled against the king of Babylon. Okay? This punishment was decided by God over these people. Oh, but we are God people, you know? Let me tell you. Sin and disobedience, the consequence of sin is death. My brother and sister, God warned these people through the prophet Jeremiah. He was not the only prophet, because before him was Isaiah, and after him was Ezekiel. And then he raised Daniel among them as a witness. My brother and sister, they did not listen to God. They did not hearken to his word. Jesus told me that those that have heard about people changing into beasts through the Bicene and not taking the message serious, my brother and sister, they will give them an account when they stay. They, my brother and sister, that are vaccinated will change and will have to stay. Okay? No vaccinated going home in a rapture. It's going to be difficult for people who stay behind. And when I say difficult, my brother and sister, the chance are slim like you cannot even imagine. My brother and sister, with so large city that are in the United States, I did not see much people left. How many people are being vaccinated now in the United States? The average is 80% of the country, my brother and sister. So an average is 78. Other average are 81, 85, I believe now. I would say an average to 80% in the whole country. Out of almost in this world, 8 billion people, over 6 billion, close to 7, or maybe more than 7, are vaccinated. At least that's the first shot, my brother and sister. Having all these people turn into beasts running around hungry for meat is very difficult. It's very difficult. As the Lord Jesus spoke to me this morning and reminded me of his revelation to me about the class that he took me to a few days ago. In that class, he was very specific with the student, and I was one of them. The requirement, my brother and sister, and how they needed to be in order to be partaker of those, few, because many are called and few are chosen. Few, my brother and sister. In that class, the Lord let us know that the reason we were there is because when he called us, we were repenting, as he asked us to, daily. We were in daily repenting. We were repenting our sin, and his blood was cleansing us. We were being cleansed by his blood. He was cleansing us and changing us, my brother and sister. And he was pleased with what he was doing in our lives. And for that reason, those out of the many are called, few are chosen, selected, that were in the class like in the days of Noah. Everyone was called, few were chosen, only 8, Noah and his family. Sodom and Gomorrah, many were called, few were chosen, only Lot and his 2 daughters. Not even his wife made it. She looked back. There's no looking back. Once you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, You look forward only to being with him. You'll be in daily repenting your sin and trespasses daily, forgetting about this world. The former thing, he says through his prophet, has passed, and they will not even come to memory, he says. He's going to remove all the bad experiences you and I had in this earth. We're only going to remember our relationship with him. It's the only thing you're taking to the next life. You're going home for the wedding celebration. You will celebrate. He will give us your reward will be given to you there in that celebration. And from there, the end of the 7 years, we're coming back, not right away, some of us, into that 1,000-year reign with Christ. Some of us will come 100 years after, some 200, some 50, some 75. Only God knows when are you coming back to the earth. But you're going to get to rest, my brother and sister. He knows this. He talked to me about us moving on. As he reminded me about that class in Revelation he's given me a few days ago, that we're moving on to a new life where everything is ready and prepared for us. My brother and sister, everything is ready, he says, and prepared for us, awaiting us. It's the word. Heaven awaits the bride, my brother and sister. He says to me this morning that as witness to him, as he has chosen us to be witnessed, it's over for us. Our witnessing is over. It's ending. My brother and sister. And he says he will take his people out. My brother and sister. He will remove his people. I'm trying to just remember every word he used. He will remove his children, his people out. There will be no more. He says, you won't be here no longer, he says. The word he uses, no longer. You will be here no longer, he says. Which I liked. I liked the word. He didn't even use the word soon. Because he says in Revelation 22, soon, and it's been 2,000 years. My brother and sister, I was careful to listen to every word he was speaking to me. My brother and sister, great encouragement, great anointing, great power. I was overwhelmed with his power and anointing as I was listening to him. I was rejoicing. It was ministering his word. Every word he was speaking to me was ministering to my life in a special way. This is what I needed. He knew I needed this. My brother and sister, he knows that my brother and sister, we need him more than everything. And we want to go home. He knows we want to go home. Well, it's over. It is over, my brother and sister. I cannot tell you the day and hour because no one knows, not even the angel. But it's over. It is over. He knows. He says to me, as he revealed to me in the class, we have to move from the room, the place we were in, to the second place, which is basically it's removing us from the earth to our second place in heaven for the wedding, which is exciting. It is exciting, my brother and sister, that he is removing his bride, his people, out of here. What these humans have done, there's nothing new under the sun. Romans 1:26, for this cause God gave them unto vile affection, to even the woman to change into the natural to use which that is against nature. He is disgusted with what he see on the earth. But it's nothing new to him. Because these people in the times of Noah, in the times of Lot, and the Romans, my brother and sister, for thousands of years they have done the same evil, same demon, same spirits, my brother and sister, same change of DNA, same change. The devil doesn't change his way. Why? It works for him. My brother and sister. In the times of Noah, they corrupted all flesh with the DNA change. My brother and sister. And it was so wicked and so evil that the Lord repented he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy men who I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beasts, creeping thing, alligator, four of the air birds. For I repent that I made them, everything that we know. And this earth right now is being contaminated with that by sin. Our government, we can say they don't know how much is contaminating everything. They know. Oh, they know. Do they know? My brother and sister. Remember the message. They are son of the lake of fire. Remember the message? Oh, they know. But it's between God and them. It is between God and them. They have no idea what the lake of fire is like. My brother and sister. They have no idea. The deal they made secretly with the devil. How God's going to put it in the open for 7 years. And see how deceived they are. How much the devil had deceived them. My brother and sister. They've been deceived greatly. Greatly, my brother and sister. The apostle Jude says, hallelujah, my brother and sister, that the angel who kidnapped their own first state, but left their own habitation, have reserved an everlasting change under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. My brother and sister, I saw the angel when the Lord took me to hell. Oh, are they angry and mad? These are never going to get out of their jails. I saw them, these Naphtalians. The parents of those that had, these were the ones that came to the daughters of man and had children with them. I saw them in hell. I wanted the Lord to take me. Remember the time the Lord took me? I had to fight them in there. Because they hate God. They hate everything about God. They hate men. And they cannot get out of the prison. The walls are like solid steel. Much stronger than steel, I know. And they're like, you have to drive far to reach the thickness of the wall. As much as they can punch the wall, I saw scratch on the wall from the evil nail because they're very strong beast, animal, fallen angel. As they have aged there, thousands, maybe millions of years they've been locked up. They have turned into horrible creature. And that's how people who are being vaccinated are going to turn like, my brother and sister. Because men in under Atlantica have reached their sons and daughters that God locked up because they were destroying men in the times of Noah and Lot. God locked them up there so they will not hurt humanity anymore. But our government, starting with Hitler, decided to uncover these things. It made a way, a passage to get to them and talk with them and get information out of them. And since that day, these men have done so. Our government in Russia and the United States have reached down to them and has been communicating with them and receiving information from them. And this is how they came up with the vaccine, in which the Lord also showed me Hitler is alive until this day. My brother and sister, Hitler is alive in Area 51 because he was the one who worked on this vaccine. This COVID-19 vaccine is his, in case you were wondering, in case you never heard it. My brother and sister, it's a horrible, evil plan that is being exposed. Because they kept a secret for all these years, my brother and sister. But the Lord wanted me to speak clearly, which I didn't want to even say it, because there's a lot of them listening. But may the Lord protect me, and please pray that the Lord protect me and my family. Send billions and trillions of warriors, angels, archangels, and even sheriff to keep us and protect us and block them from hearing us and listening to us. In Jesus' name, I pray, my brother and sister. Praise your Lord, because so much you have revealed that a lot of it has to keep quiet. And the Lord says, no, no, my son. Or you have to give me an account. When he took me to Area 51, I saw Hitler there. It was him, the one I've seen through so many movies. I just watched a movie a few days ago about him. He's still there alive because he is the pioneer of this by seeing that information that came from those demons in Antarctica, the one that the elite claim that they have found eternal life, that they have the secret of eternal life, is the by seeing they have come up with and invented unto themselves. This is why they're celebrating behind closed doors. That's why they want to destroy the weak, according to them, humanity, so they can live eternally. There's no eternity without God. They're gonna burn for eternity in the lake of fire. That is for sure. That is the promise of God to us. Verse 7, even Sodom and Gomorrah and the city around about them, like the man of giving himself over fornication, going after strange flesh, and are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. That's the lake of fire. Eternal fire, that's the lake of fire. That's what they're going. There's no escape for them. My brother and sister, what they did in Sodom and Gomorrah, in the times of Lot, and what they're doing today, the only place to go, they're going is to the lake of fire. Verse 8, likewise also, these filthy dreamer, defile the flesh. Oh, they're dreaming to inherit the earth and make shift to go to other planet and conquer other planet. My brother and sister, their dream, God said, they're filthy, horrible, ugly, the worst. They'll never get to accomplish those dreams, my brother and sister. Our dream and the Lord will get to accomplish. Outside the Lord, never. Never allow this. My brother and sister, like why also these filthy dreamers? Every dream they have is filthy because it has to do with removing humanity, depopulation agenda. Deep city, depopulation agenda, deep state, and establishing themselves with the secret of living forever. Oh, no, that'll never happen. They have gone as far as they've been allowed to. Once the church is out, it's over. Over for them. It is over. Because everything they hold secret, their secret sons and daughters, the city they have on the United States and around the world, other city, are going to be destroyed. Instead of spending billions up here and helping the people, they're spending billions down there helping their own children that they had conquered and made with the blood of fallen ones. When the Lord showed me these beings, children of the elite, they have thousands of them. And they look kind of like beasts. They're not perfect. They have the blood of tiger, which some might call liger after they mix them, but in a human being form, alligator and crocodile DNA in it. And they have all these mixed, these children that they love so much. They call intelligent children. To them, the whole population is not intelligent. Only the children is. And the fallen ones that are talking to them only are to them. And that's why they're willing to depopulate the earth in order to establish themselves. That will never happen. That will never be allowed by God. That's why God is exposing them. My brother and sister. Verse 9, yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil and disputing about the body of Moses, dare not to bring against him any railing accusation. He said, the Lord rebuked thee. But they speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they have come to know naturally as brute beasts are the things that are correct in self. Look at God. They wanting her children beast, a family made of beast. God calls them beast because the Naphtalim had put their seed on them to have children, to depopulate the earth, vaccinate everyone who's not going to last much. I'm going to change and be destroyed. They don't want one single human being to remain, but only their children, my brother and sister. But these speak evil of those things which they not know of. But what they come to know naturally as brute beast, that's what they are, brute beast. And those things, they corrupt themselves. Yeah, because they keep injecting themselves these things. And they're corrupting the form of God that they had, made in the image of God, born for a man and a woman. And now they inject themselves these things to make themselves super intelligent, make them very strong, supposedly to overcome all these viruses that they also made themselves. As beasts, they think they can live through this virus with these different DNA mutation that they believe is making them stronger. And the number of these viruses will do no harm to them. They're not concerned about this virus, but are willing to let humanity die with them or remove humanity with them. Verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They have gone in the way of Cain. When Cain killed his brother Abel, Cain left the land, and he went to the east of the garden to find his wife from a fallen Naphtalim, fallen angel, the seed of an angel, fallen one. Cain should have known better. Cain knew that Adam and Eve only have him and Abel, and that they didn't have no more children. That for him to find this beautiful thing that he called his wife, but it was a beast, would have began to have a generations of beast. And from the intelligence of Cain, as they call it, now they have these books that they secretly read that they said that Cain was an intelligent one, that through the beginning of him, he made a family and had the wisdom to make city and weapons and so much more. Not understanding that why Cain built city and built weapon, it was because he was afraid that one day they were going to come for him to be destroyed. Like the devil fear that time is running out for him and he need to get everything accomplished before he is thrown in the lake of fire. He knows that. And the next earth that will be for 1,000 years, he have no reign because he's going to be bound for 1,000 years. And he know that God cannot lie, that God is not a man, but the son of man, that he will repent. And the devil knows this very well, that he's going to be bound for 1,000 years, that there's no escape for him. And when he are released, it's just for a short season, which can be say is 3 months. Not much. And then from there, fire comes down from heaven, and he gets thrown into the lake of fire. He has no chance against God. He has no chance to establish his kingdom. My brother and sister, that was the fear of Cain. The way of Cain was evil and wicked. How can a human being, which he was not, he was the seed of the devil, but how can he mess with the blood of this fallen one? And me, one of them, and her children. What you get out of that is wicked, evil beings. My brother and sister, when I was taken in the spirit by the Lord years ago, he took me to Hollywood, California. The Lord had me look at a multitude of people meeting. Even in the mall in Hollywood, he took me. In a multitude of thousands, there were 2 or 3 human beings. The rest were not human beings. Then he took me to great multitude around California. Out of those great multitude of people, there was only a few human beings. The rest was the seed of the devil, was the seed of the fallen ones. I was shocked. I was shaking for days with the revelation of the Lord. I could not even sleep well because I kept asking myself, how can this be, Lord? How there can be so many people on the earth and not all of them are human? Because you see, Cain, when he found this woman, he began to have children with them. And they were not the seed of the woman. But God has said that the seed of the serpent, Genesis 3, will come against the seed of the woman. The seed of the serpents are the seed of the devil. Devils, Satan. My brother and sister. But you could not believe that there were so many seed of the serpent and so few seed of the woman. My brother and sister, I don't know if we have 100 million of the seed of the woman on this earth. We're almost 8 billion people. This is why the seed of the serpent can easily say yes to the vaccine. Yes. Oh, yeah, the seed of the serpent. Oh, they feel secure with the vaccine. It's the greatest thing since they made chocolate. My brother and sister to them. Oh, this, the vaccine to them. Oof. They're already calling. In the moment they get the vaccine, they're calling the doctor for the booster. Doc, when am I getting the booster, doc? Inform me. Keep me informed. Here's my number. Call me. You see, the seed of the serpent. My brother's father strict diet with the devil. Everything he's offered, they love. My brother and sister. Now, if you don't believe me about this seed, let me give you an insight about how they think and how they feel. My brother and sister. What's the believers? There's so much in the Bible about them. But let me give you, my brother and sister, an insight about them, which is in John 3:18. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believe not is already condemned. My brother and sister, these people will not believe in Christ. You can preach to them all day long. That's why I didn't understand the beginning when I came to the Lord, but I will go out evangelizing. I will give them Bible tracts. I will share the Bible with them. They'll throw it in the garbage. The gravel like this looked at me with evil eyes and throw it in the garbage. I didn't understand. But then I had to wait years for the Lord to pray and fasting for the Lord to begin to reveal these things to me. They believe not. It's already condemned. My brother and sister, already condemned. You can preach all day long to them if you want. Because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In the moment you mention Jesus to them, what do they say? What do they do? Oh, keep that away from me. They say, keep it away from me. They don't want to hear it. They say they don't want to waste their time. Not of it, my brother and sister. They're already condemned. And this is the condemnation. This is how you know that they are condemned. That the light, which is Jesus, come into the world, but men love darkness, which is the devil. They're in love with the father, the devil. Jesus said to the Pharisee in John 8, ye are of your father, the devil. My brother and sister, he was revealing the sea that they were off. My brother and sister, he was revealing who they were, really. If you were there studying to the Lord, Lord, really? Aren't these people children of Israel? Aren't these people born? Remember that the children of Israel remember when they encounter wife and had children with them and the priest my brother and sister, I'm trying to think of his name, said to them, send them away with the wife and the children. Remember that? My brother and sister? Remember when the priest stood up and said, send them away? He revealed the sin and abomination that Israel had committed before God. And what made Ezra, and what made God angry. And if you don't believe me, go back to the book of Ezra. I done this on the Lord's Hour. Go back to the book of Ezra and read it. And read what he says to the people, that why God was mad with them, angry with the people. And it was the wife and children that they have. And he says, take those wife and those children, remove them from among you, and send them away to appease the anger of the Lord. And they each said yes to Ezra and took their wife. We're talking about thousands of wives, thousands of children, thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Take them, remove them from among you, and send them away. Send them away from among you, my brother and sister. That was the only way there will be a peace with the Lord. Because he was angry. Because those wise see were of the Nephilim, of the fallen one. And having children with them now, they contaminated themselves to the point that if they didn't do that, God would have to destroy them. This is the problem. A lot of people don't understand what they're doing when they're taken by sin. Father says to me that those that are taken by sin will not be part of his kingdom. Now, the Lord is merciful. Father is also merciful, and that's the thing, they're one. He says that those, the Lord says afterward, that will take that other by sin, that will remove the effect of this by sin, and will truly repent, they will be saved. But that's another story in the Great Tribulation. My brother and sister, that's between them and God now. The church is not around anymore. We're not around. I'm going to remove you, he says. That's it. Our time, my brother and sister, it's over. It's over for the church. The church is going to disappear. That's it. Our witness in time is over. That's it. The Lord made sure he told me this, because he told me this last year, and I said it on the Lord's Hour. He told me last year that we were witnessing things that he wanted us to witness, and that will be it for us. He will remove us out of the way. Well, he's removing us soon. I say soon. No, he's removing us. Okay? There's no soon anymore. He is removing us. He's going to take us out of the way. He says to me, I'm taking you out of the way. Very loud and very clear. This is his word. This is a promise to us, to me. I'm taking that word very serious from the Lord. That's his promise to us. To remove us out of the way. He's going to remove us. Very soon, we're celebrating in heaven. The rest down here are going through a great tribulation like they never seen before, like it never be again. Terrible, terrible. Like it never been before, never be again. And this is the condemnation. The light, which is Jesus, had come into the world. Men love darkness, the devil, rather than Jesus, light, because that these were evil, my brother and sister. Everything about them, like Cain, my brother and sister, there's so much debate about Cain over the years. So much debate. Oh, why Cain? Why did God reject Cain's offering? My brother and sister. And I kept reading the story. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Because it was not about the offering, as I heard in the church for many years. I read it. It was never about the offering. It was not about the offering. It was about who Cain is, who Cain was, my brother and sister. Because there's still a lot of sea of Cain on the earth, a lot. Like you cannot even imagine. What is it, 80%? It's about who Cain is. And reading about Cain, the elite are going back to Cain. And they're supposedly wisdom, falling wisdom from demons. They've gone back. Their books are going back to Cain on them. Well, we need to go back to Cain because there is where we get an understanding. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Genesis 4:2. Hallelujah. And see, again bore Abel, and Abel was keeper of sheep, but Cain tiller of the ground. And the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. My brother and sister, and also brought the firstling of the flock. Abel brought the firstling of the flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. My brother and sister, here is God honoring his seed, or the seed of the woman. He's honoring the seed of Abel. Abel, he's honoring Abel. God had respect for Abel and unto his offering. But unto Cain, there comes a revelation, and to his offering, he had no respect. Cain was very wrath, and his countenance fell. My brother and sister, sorry if it was about the offering, should have been, God was not pleased with Cain's offering. No. I heard this about the church for so many years of preaching, people preaching. Oh, it was that Cain, the offering he brought was not pleasing unto the Lord. It was not the right offering. And I kept meditating. I kept going to the Word. And I wanted the Lord to show me if this is the fact that it's the offering. It was never the offering. It was Cain. Cain, the Bible revealed, was of the evil one. My brother and sister. He was of the evil one. So God has no respect for Cain. Cain was not his. You see? He was not the seed of the woman, but the seed of the evil one. So I'm not being his. It's like, if you want God to honor Cain, he will have to honor the devil. He will have to honor the father of all lies, the evil one, the murderer one since the beginning, that evil serpent. He will have to honor the serpent in order to honor Cain. What have Christ do have to do with darkness, the Bible says? What did he have to do with idol? What did he have to do with following? Nothing. His kingdom is the kingdom of life. Father separated his life from darkness. The Bible shared with us. So Christ has nothing to do with darkness. He's light. We have nothing to do with darkness because we are in the light. We're the children of the light. We have nothing to do with darkness. So Cain could not be well received by God because he was not the seed of the woman. It was the seed of the woman that God chose unto himself, not the seed of the serpent. The seed of the serpent was allowed later to be destroyed. My brother and sister, the seed of the serpent was allowed later to be destroyed. And the open door to the seed of the serpent was Eve when she ate from the fruit. The God said that in the day you will eat, you will die. You will allow their kingdom to come into your world. That's the dying process. Death comes from the angel of death that will be allowed. And the one that has the power there, according to the book of Hebrews, was the devil. That's when the devil was allowed to come in the garden and bring unto the earth dead. If it was according to God, they would have never been dead on the earth. They would have no power over his children. But to Christ now, through Christ his son now, they have no power over his children. None. Lazarus was sleeping. He was not dead. Remember, my brother and sister, they have no power over the children of God. Not anymore to Christ. They were conquered at the cross. Remember, my brother and sister. So in order for people now to go and become part of death, they have to go and take death by sin. Death by sin belongs to death, belongs to the world, not to the children of God at all. My brother and sister, it belongs to evil. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Verse 10, after King killed Abel, and he said, what have thou done? God calling him into account. The voice of thy brother, blood crying unto me from the ground. The blood of those innocent babies that are being aborted is crying before God daily. Why will not God destroy the earth when he can hear the outcry of those babies crying for mercy? My brother and sister. And now, verse 11 says, God to Cain, thou art cursed from the earth, which shall open her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. And when thou tillest the ground, and shalt not henceforth yield unto thee her strength, a fugitive and vagabond shall thou be on the earth. And then Cain said to God, his punishment was great that he can bear. Then God said, behold, thou art driven out of the day from hence earth, and from the face shall thy face shall be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone who findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever shall slay Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord said, a mark of a Cain, let him any find him that shall kill him. Even God determined the days that the wicked is going to live, because he had made the wicked for the day of destruction, the Bible says. My brother and sister, look it up. Cain went out of the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod to the east of Eden. Why out of the presence of the Lord? Because the presence of the Lord was in the garden. Anywhere you went to in the garden, and I know because I walked there, the presence of the Lord is all over that place. My brother and sister, his presence is there. It's still there. The garden is up in heaven, and his presence is still there. My brother and sister. But God is going to bring it back. God's going to bring that garden back. You're going to see a tremendous presence of God all day long in that place. That is the way it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. My brother and sister. Now, Cain went out of the presence of the Lord, and he went to the land of Nod, a fallen Naphtalian, east of the Eden. My brother and sister, look where they were located. If you say, look where they were hiding, or dwelling, or how they're dwelling. The east of the garden. My brother and sister, that means that the east of the garden, they can look into the garden. They were not allowed to enter, but they can look into, because they were fallen one. How long do you think they've been watching the garden? From far, my brother and sister. They've been watching God in the garden, watching the angels, watching men in there in the garden. They were watching. Watchers. But these were fallen ones. Bible calls them watchers. These were fallen watchers. They've been watching for a long time. But after their falling, they were not allowed in there anymore. My brother and sister. Now, as Cain going that way and see those beautiful women, he should have never taken one as a bride, because those are the daughters of them fallen ones. No, he goes and take a wife there. And Cain knew his wife. Looked like he fell in love with one of them. He knew her, which Adam knew Eve, knew his wife. They talked. They had conversation. They got to know each other. They fell in love. That was his wife. So Cain came to the same process. He find this beautiful young lady. He falls in love with her. He meet her. He marry her. She become his wife. This fallen evil angel, Seoth, Cain knew his wife. She conceived and bore Enoch, built a city, cut the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Now, all prophecy, they at least have these books that goes all the way from Cain all the way back to the end time. And everything that they're doing is to establish the seed of Cain and remove the seed of the woman. Anyone who's serving Christ is a seed of the woman. Anyone that calls on the name of God or the Lord is a seed of the woman. Not the seed of the serpent. I'm going to call on God. They may know God. They may hear about God. They may even preach it to confuse people. But the Lord, God is separating darkness from light. See, they will not come into the light to be ripped. Oh, no way they'll do that because the Lord knows who they are. The Lord knows who they are. They're not going to come and pray and fasting and seek the Lord and, oh, Lord, reveal what's in my heart. You wicked one, stay away from my sight. God rejected Cain in his offering. God rejects all these seeds of the serpent. All of them are rejected by God. And that's what God is doing in the last day, exposing them, revealing them to his people. And say, huh? What? Not such and such and such. Or see, notice how these famous one, renowned name, as the first one running to get the by thing, they preached the Bible for so many years. They didn't pray to the Lord. They didn't fast. They didn't ask God they should take the by thing. They were the first in line getting the by thing. Huh? God is exposing them. And more, you're going to hear about them taking the by thing. Because they never were trusting the Lord. God is exposing them. God is exposing them. I cannot give you all the details about all this information, but when you go to heaven in the rapture, please approach the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, would you explain to me a little bit more of what Brother Elby was talking about, of what your word said about Cain and his seed, and the Bible said he was of the evil one, and can you explain this to me, Lord? Can you give me more information? I won't want to talk about it anymore because I'll be in the wedding celebration. I'll be with Brother Larry, Sister Jude Thomas. We'll be eating, drinking, celebrating. It's a celebration. I don't want to worry about nothing, these things back here anymore. I'm glad they're going to pass away. No more interested in it. I just want to leave all this stuff behind, my brother and sister. That's it. This has been a mess since the beginning. Let's leave this mess behind. And don't pertain to us. It don't pertain to us. But the reason why, I'm going to share with you, and I'm going to show you the reason why we're talking about it. Why the Lord will have me talk about this. I didn't really want him to talk about it anymore. I told the Lord last night that I didn't want it to no more. That I had talked enough about this, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. But this is why the Lord wants to have me talk about this before he takes us home. When the disciple wanted to know, Matthew 24, when was the coming of Jesus, the day of the rapture? When is the Lord going to take his people home? The Bible said in Matthew 24:3 that he set upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciple came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when should these things be? It's a question, has a question mark there. It's a clear question. Tell us, reveal to us. We want to know, Lord. We want to know. When shall these things be? When? Give us a day. Give us a year. Give us an hour. We want to know, Lord. Here is the greater mistake that we make. And that's we want to know when is the rapture. Wrong. It is not to us to know, my brother and sister. It is not to us. It is not so important to know than being ready for his coming. And for years, we keep seeking to know when, and that can get us in a lot of trouble. Here's what the Lord says is important to us to be aware and be in watching. My brother and sister, look, and when shall the sign of thy coming? They want to know about the sign and the end of the world. Three specific questions. That has nothing to do with our personal relationship with Jesus. Here is where we need to be careful. Verse 4. Here is the answer of a Lord, master, a rabbi. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. It's as we say, watch out. Watch out. Or watch for. Or be in watch. Be in watch. Be in watch. that no man deceive you. Because this is exactly what's happening in the last day. Because how do you know if it's a seed of the serpent or it's a seed of God? If it's a seed of God, it will say that Jesus came over 2,000 years ago in the flesh of the man, upper and sister. And everything that the person will say, it will be about Christ, to glorify Christ, and to lead people to Christ. Now, if it's about anything else, for their own glory or for the riches or so much more, my brother and sister, if you've been under the teaching of one of these prosperity teacher that already has been vaccinated and much more, you've been deceived. Be ye not deceived. Take heed that no man, because it will be in the form of a man. Because that's what this natural world produced. A seed of the serpent, a demon, once it's in a woman's belly and is born as a baby according to the law of this earth, it's a human baby according to the law of this earth. Why is it that if the devil is with the woman and they have a child, why is it that it's born a man or a woman? They're not a demon, horrible demon. Because the law of this of the earth is, from the earth thou wilt make, from the earth thou will go back again. God made that law, that everything that is born on this earth is born of the flesh. That's a law. And that's why the devil principality can have be with women and have babies, and they become human-like. They're still demon, but they look like human. And worse is when they become preacher. Famous preacher. And all the messages about prosperity. That's even worse, because how can you discern them? How can you know how they are? Discernment. Jesus came to me years ago and talked to me about discernment. My brother and sister. And I believe, I thought that I learned that if you ask for the gifts of the sermon and you pray for the sermon, but it was lightly, it was not deep as the Lord was talking to me. And he says, I will teach you about the sermon, the Lord says to me. He began to teach me about the sermon, took me to the heavenly place where all these demons are, and I heard olden demons telling other demons how to defeat human there. When you meet a human that is like a Christian, begin to talk to them about the Bible. Oh, they like that. And they can confuse people through the Bible. See, the preacher, before a lot of time before they talk about prosperity, they open the Bible. And they read a few verses, or one or a few. And that gets people excited. Let me show you what's in the Word. And they get people excited. And that's how they send so much money to the ministry. Because it's all planned. It's their agenda. Then they don't care after that. Jesus said about the good pastor, the shepherd, that there's not the shepherd of the sheep. He sees the wolf coming. What did he do? Did he stand between the wolf and say, I'm fighting for my sheep? No, he runs. I'm out of here, yo. This is not with me. Sister, take care. Brother, take care. Goodbye. Huh? But I need money so I can... I'm sorry. Don't bother me, they say. Millions and billions in the bank account. They don't help anyone. Children are starving, dying hungry all over the world. And if they send a few dollars, they're praising themselves on television. Oh, I send to Africa, to this country, that country. They're praising themselves. When the Bible said, don't let your right hand know what your left is doing, what your left has done. No, they're praising themselves on television. They're sounding the shofar. They're sounding the trumpet on television of how much they're giving, a few dollars out of a billion that they're taking. They give a few dollars away. My brother and sister, It's horrible what's happening on this earth. I want no part of it. I want to go home. That's it. I'm taking the attitude to gratitude. I'm out of here. I want to leave. I want to get out of here. This is too corrupted out here. Darkness is taking this earth like there's no tomorrow anymore. My brother and sister, evil is all over the land. Everyone's being vaccinated with the poison by sin. What a by sin that is going to change people into beasts. And the Lord said all vaccinated will change. All vaccinated. So if you think that your daddy, your mommy, your sister, brother that took the vaccine is not going to change, you're wrong. They will change. There's no going back once they took the vaccine of changing. But you need to really pray for them like you never pray. Really. Like that sister the Lord showed me. She prayed for her sister nonstop. Just pray for her to be saved. And pray and pray. The prayer of the righteous are very much. But this is not your prayer. The people pray, God bless you and go on your way. No, this is not going to be the short prayer. These are going to be long years, 7 years of prayer, 7 years of that and fasting for your brother and sister to be saved, to be protected. Because let me tell you, I saw myself in the great tribulation this morning. When you're trying to survive for food, you don't care who you kill over. These people that are changing into beasts, they're wild. They can kill you any second. You're going to try to use stick, wood, steel, guns, whatever you can to stop them from killing you so you can get yourself some food. It's survival. Survival time is coming on the earth. So if one of your brothers and sisters that have changed into a beast are looking to tear people apart, those people are going to defend themselves and try to kill that beast. It's just simple as it is. This is why you need to pray for them. Like you never pray it, because your daughter that may change into a beast or your son, they may be killed. And when I say killed, because nobody can be killed in the Great Tribulation, that will elude them. They can be deadly wounded. You see, deadly wounded. And then they'll be on the floor crying for mercy. But those that are trying to survive don't have time to save them or help them. How? When these beasts are looking at you to tear you apart. So there's no peace on the earth, my mouth. Bible says there's no peace for the wicked. It's just going to be so horrible, my brother and sister, on the earth. God never meant it for things to get this bad. Never meant it to be this way. Notice that when he put Noah and his family in the ark and told them to measure him and put him in the ark and close the door and say he will destroy all flesh, he wanted to preserve human beings through Noah. And then have them multiply again and start over again. And he started all over again, but there was still Nephilim on the earth. But God in his mercy took those fallen ones, locked them up on the Atlantica with the weather 60 and 90 degrees below zero all the time. He had those angels suffering there, frozen, where they cannot even move for these thousands of years until he worked with humanity on the earth and get them rapture, departure, ready through his son Jesus. Bring his family back to heaven where they should be under the watch of care of Father. The one that don't sleep, don't slumber. The one that loves you with agape love so much that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's Father's plan for humanity, brothers and sisters. But humanity need to be obedient and repent, my brother and sister. It's so wicked on here and so contaminated that we don't want to be here no more. The bright one's out. And the Lord knows that. And the Lord's going to get his bright out, my brother and sister. I said to you, I don't know how much of 2022 we're going to see. I hope it's none. I hope we don't see the end of the first month of 22. I know we need to see a little bit maybe. I don't know. I hope none. I really hope none. Because what I saw coming for the economy next year is not pretty. They're already looting in California. And the rest of the state will follow. Even the elite and the people are telling you that starting January, the earth is going to change. Things are going to change. My brother and sister. They're all waiting for 2022. Which is what, a month away? A few weeks away? It's close. It's close. And they're waiting for the things unfolding. I heard prophecy this past week from the different prophet of what is up to come in 2022. It's horrible. So I don't want to be around no more. I want to get out of here. So it'll be terrible. My brother and sister. See, we've already been seeing shadow of the Great Tribulation. COVID-19, AIDS, cancer, doesn't kill millions of people, are shadow at the Great Tribulation. Can you imagine if the other shadow, if the tribulation was shadow other things here, like people turning into business here, that would be terrible. I don't want to see that. Because what I experienced this morning, it was survival time. You are so busy in the Great Tribulation running for your life that you cannot even think about God always. And you have to in order to make it. You have no time to read your Bible. You're running. And they're going to take all the Bible and burn them too. It's terrible. Terrible. My brother and sister, terrible. What is coming? Now, government is going to try to survive themselves, but it will be impossible also. Because the Nephilim will be loose and they come to destroy. My brother and sister, I hope we don't see no beast before the rapture. That's my hope. Because if the Great Tribulation shadow beast here, people are turning into beasts before it begins. Because it's been shouting AIDS, it's been shadowing COVID-19, it's been shadowing the Beijing. All these things for the Great Tribulation. But it's been shadowing to our time. Like a leak into our time. So I don't want nothing else to shadow here from the Great Tribulation. Like people turning into beasts is what I'm saying. I really hope we don't see those shadows because those will be horrible shadows. At least we got the technology, the machine to destroy those things if they begin to change. But I hope it doesn't shadow here because then it will be terrible. My brother and sister, we just want to go home. We just want to go home. It's just gotten to a level with the contamination, government everywhere. My brother, they're vaccinating children, praying for my children to be protected every day. Every day, praying for them in school to be protected. Because these teachers, these evil ones, these doctors want to vaccinate your children, your family. So then you have to be in prayer for them. It's terrible. And then if you keep them home from school, then you have problem with the school. You have problem with the system. To avoid a problem, you keep them in school. My brother and sister, it's terrible. So much is happening. My brother and sister, when we move here from the other city here, they were immediately calling us to find out if our children were in school. They're on top of things, but it's all evil. Evil, 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 evil. My brother and sister, evil. They have become evil. You don't want to be in a court or anywhere arguing with these people because they'll take you to court. They have no problem taking you to court. My brother and sister, and that's what we're trying to avoid with them. They want our children. They're not going to have it. The best way to protect your children is to ask the Lord to protect them by being prayer for them. See, a lot of people like to make these fights physical. No, no, no. Take it spiritual. Take it into prayer with the Lord and fasting and pray and fast for your children that the Lord will keep them and protect them and watch what happens. It's better this way than me going to argue at the school. I'm homeschooling my children. I'm taking them home. You know, they'll call the police. They'll begin to do an investigation. In the physical, you don't want to go against them. You want to go against them in the spirit. You want to bind them in the spirit. You want to destroy the plant in the spirit. You want to put a wall between them and your children in the spirit. You want God to fight for you. That's why he says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Take it spiritually better than physical. Because a lot of parents are taking it physical and I end up with a lot of pain and hurting. Don't do that. No. Take it spiritual. Remember that before anything can happen in the physical, it begins in the spirit, my brother and sister. Okay? It begins in the spirit. I heard a family who had homeschooled their children, and when they had asked for all the material that they request, then they get into legal problem for that. You see? And you don't want to get into that. I worked in that system up in Massachusetts, and I know how that system works. I worked with parents that they took their children. The state took their children, my brother and sister. And legally, in counseling, I was working the part of counseling, family counseling, my brother and sister. And I know how complicated it is. You better have the Lord fight for you, my brother and sister, because the system that I work with, they took children away from their parents. I didn't do it. But since I was part of the system, working with the system back then, I had to go and counsel the children and make sure that the parent can see them and share time with them with visitation. They have visitation right. After they determine, the court determine, and will give them the visitation right. So we had a legal department, and then we had the counseling department, which was us, and I will go see these children. But then under the supervision of the legal department, supervision under the court, this is how the state had the state has everything set up in such a way that if you try to fight them legally, you're not going to win. Better way is to take this in the spirit with the Lord and let the Lord fight for you, my brother and sister. Because I heard parents crying that they lost their children to the state. I heard them, my brother and sister. And that's why I tell you, I've spoken with these parents, and I know what I'm telling you, how evil and corrupt the state have become, my brother and sister. That when the investigation is going on, they can take your children away legally. The police can come to your house and remove your children until the investigation is settled. And a lot of time, it's never settled. It's never settled. And so this is why I tell you, no, I take it before the Lord. As I work in that system, I know how it is. It's better to take it with the Lord, because then when I see the Lord does this, he fights for you. And in every way that they try to come against you, the Lord stops them on the track. And they have no way, because this is spiritual. These are demons. It's like you taking a demon to court. And you're there. The judge may be a demon. The lawyers may be a demon. And you're fighting demon in court. Maybe the only human there is you. And you are in court with demon. And they're all in agreement, looking at each other, laughing at you. And you're there thinking that you're going to get your justice from a demon. Remember, it's a sister lawyer that I know. She goes to court and texts a lot with people. She helps family. She's a great lawyer for the Lord. And the Lord took me in the spirit, because she goes to court a lot. And she had this lawyer coming against her. The Lord took me to Texas in the spirit. I was in court. She was the only one of the lawyer there. The lawyer that was coming against her was a demon. The judge was a demon. Her attorney was a demon. Most of the people in court were demons. Even the secretary was a demon. I was saying to the sister, "Sister, you were in court with these people. And in the flesh, they all look human. I was looking at them in the spirit. Most of them were demons that you were in court with. This is what people have to deal with that they don't even know about." And that's why You want to get justice from them. You don't bring the case in the hand of the Lord to fight for you. You end up losing in court. It's like your chances of winning this case in court without the Lord, 99.999 against you. Your only chance of winning one of these cases is Jesus. Are you listening? Your only chance when judges are demons, the attorneys are demons, the secretaries are demons, most of the people are demons in court. You are human going to the court to fight a case. And so you're there arguing with demons that they get along with themselves. They know who they are. They're laughing on you because you don't know who they are. And so instead of you calling out the Lord to fight for you in this case, because that is your only salvation, that is your only victory, our only victory in this world is Jesus. A lot of people don't know this because they cannot see in the spirit, as the Lord was showing me. They cannot see who they're fighting. It is so unfair. Yes, it is. This is why the Lord said, "Vengeance is mine," saith the Lord. He's going to have to fight for us in order for us to win anything. How many people go to court on a daily basis and lose? I worked in those departments. I heard the lawyer, the caseworker, I was a caseworker, coming out of court, "Oh, we won again." Just like always, out of all my cases, they say, if they lost one, it's like a miracle in the other way, in the opposite way. Demonic. It's a demonic system. It's a seed of Cain that you're fighting. Your only chance to win is Jesus. It's the Lord fighting for you. A lot of people have not understand that. You know how many broken family I have to go and minister to and talk to? They give me a whole thing of case. My brother and sister, and I had to go and talk with them and follow up with those cases and make a report about them. My brother and sister, it's terrible. But that's our society today. That's what's happening, my brother and sister. This is why the Lord is our help. Only the Lord can fight for us in all this. I understood it by spending 9 years in that system. Over 9 years, my brother and sister, and seeing how the people had no chance, but we, the caseworker, every case we were winning, but the winning in our department was not to reunite them with the family, but was to take them away from the family, causing pain and hurting to them. I was not the one causing the pain and hurting. I was counseling them. And that's why I was leading them to the Lord, my brother and sister. "I will repay," saith the Lord. Yes. I was pointing them to God as much as I could. Because sometimes I would speak with someone, then they would mention to someone else in the program that I was preaching God to them, and that would get me in trouble. And then that I would have to be reprimanded for that. But that didn't stop me from doing it, though. Okay? I would say, "Yes, I did it." It would call me out to the office. "Yes, I did it." And then it'll say, "Well, you know not to do this anymore." You get your first warning. And it was warning after warning, but it would not stop me from doing it. Why? Because I love God, and I know that He is the only way. Jesus is the only way for people. There's no other way. My brother and sister. They were telling one of my children who was 8 years of age that he was born gay. That it was okay to be gay because he was born this way. And when they gave me that case, I said, "No, this young man, no, you are not born gay. God made you a man." The psychiatrist, the therapist, all these people were telling him that he was born gay. That it was okay for him to like boy. And I said, "That's a lie from the devil, from the pit of hell." But I'm talking to a children now. I have to explain him little by little how God made man in his image, that God did not make anyone gay, that God made him a man, my brother and sister, an 8-year old, and he was not the only one. They will have meeting with 40 and 50 of them, in which they were telling the girl that it was okay for them to be with other girl or like other girl because they were born lesbian and the boy was born gay. And all these children's teaching from psychiatrist, therapists, and all these people, they were telling him all his life on the bed of hell. Me coming into that, so that was not okay with me. Oh, no. And I didn't need to tell them that. I needed to tell the children that, not the adult, my brother and sister. The adults are convinced. I was talking to one of them, and she was telling me that this is the way they were born. And I said to her, please respect my belief, okay? And we left that off there because I knew she could not be convinced that children are born gay, she says. What a life on the pit of hell. Try to convince me, I said, no way. No. Don't give me that, okay? And it's just the way the system is. And this is why I tell you, and I know, only the Lord can help you and your children. Don't try to do it through the court, through psychiatrist, through counselor, through, no, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. You need to fast and pray for them. You need to fast and pray. Commit them to Jesus. Okay? Break that demon in their life, my brother and sister, a bondage. Because I noticed that the demon and the boy were taking hold of the boy. The more they told him he was gay and he was born this way, the more that demon were taking hold of him until I took authority over him and the car praying for him. He felt free that day. He went home to his mom and told him, my brother and sister, what happened? And the mom called the program and said, I want to speak with Elvis Zapata. And I said, uh-oh, this woman is going to rebuke me. No. She actually ended up thanking me and hugging me. Her son was free. The Lord set him free. The Lord set him free, my brother and sister. That was one of my victories that I celebrated in the Lord. This child was set free under the power of God, praying and fasting for him, my brother and sister. No more he did believe that he was gay anymore. No. He was born. God made him a man in the womb of his mom. He never was born this way. But it's the lie. It is the lie. Oh, glory be to the Lord. It is the lie of these people and the devil. Our system been under the devil for so long, my brother and sister, that people have believed so much lie down here. That's why we need to get out of here. There's so much evil light going on. We want the Lord to get us out of here, my brothers. And the Lord knows darkness has taken over this earth so much, my brother and sister. So much. No. It can be a generational curse, sister. Break that. Break that generational curse of homosexuality. If it was in your family, you need to break that through fasting and prayer. A lot of time people practice doing it, confessing it and breaking it. By confessing it, but sometimes you need fasting. I noticed with these children, it was fasting that the Lord used me to set them free. Fasting, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. The whole program was being turned upside down because I was there. God brought me in there to do that, my brother and sister. Oh, they didn't like it. They didn't like it. They don't like to lose customers. The devil doesn't like to lose customers. He wants to have more people confused on this earth like he has done since the beginning. But no, my brother and sister, we are with Christ. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Stay focused on Jesus, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. How you feel about the rapture departure that had not happened yet? You probably were saying the same thing like me, Brother Obi. Why is it taking so long? How long more are we going to wait? And it was so incredible that I can hear myself murmuring. You know, the more we try to not to do it, or sometimes we think about things and we don't even say it, we might even think that those things are not considered, even when we think about them, my brother and sister. And so someone said, or I said, why, someone and I, why is the teacher not here? We're in class, but the teacher was not there. And we're looking at one another. Some turned their chair around to look at the other brothers and sisters. And if I think about what was happening, I believe God was giving us time with one another, my brother and sister. But I know that as we wait, we kept saying, where is the teacher? I even said, what class are you, how can you be in a class sitting with other students and the teacher will not be in front? That made no sense to me, my brother and sister. Then comes a messenger through the door that the teacher sent. And the messenger is in front of the door, in front of us in the class. He stands at the door and he says, the teacher sent me to come and get you, to bring you to the other room where he is. And so we were like, oh, he's in another room. Okay, so this class is in another room. Our people started standing out of their chair. We were all thinking the same, like, how come the class is not here? How come we need to go to another room? But the messenger said, the teacher said, it is better for you to go to the other room because darkness is covering this place. All of a sudden, we're looking at one another, and it was almost black. I mean, we can see darkness in the room. And we're looking at one another, and it got so dark we could hardly see each other. It got in dark, and I'm looking at the light in the roof of the room, and on the top, on the room. And I can see the light we're on, but we can also see darkness in the room, my brother and sister. And it was beginning to take over the room. And the messenger said, go to the other room where your teacher is. And we all got up. It was like we wanted to get out of there fast. And we all began to walk, my brother and sister. When we go to the other room, we walk to the hallway. The messenger said, take a right. Go down the hallway. Down the first door on your right. He's there waiting for you. It was like there was an excitement, like a heart jump for a moment. We all started getting up and we started walking to the second room where the teacher was. When we got to the door was open. We looked into the classroom and there was the teacher sitting in front. He had a beautiful smile, full of life and hope, looking at each and one of us with great love and great compassion and great care for each and one of us, knowing exactly what was in our heart and our life. When we sat down in class, you may all be seated, we began to set each other in the chairs on the bench. And it was like our life immediately was being revealed to us. He let us know that we were chosen out of many that were called. We were the few chosen one, my brother and sister. Many that were called. We were elected by him, he said. We were selected by him. And he says, you have endured and you have persevered until this moment as you were asked to, as my word says, for you to endure and for you to persevere till the end, till this moment. He said, my brother and sister, he says, after you pass this test, after you take this test, he says, you're going forward through that door into your new life, he said. When you go through forward through that door into your new life, everything that you ever hoped for is going to come to pass for you there. You're going to accomplish your dream there. Everything you hope for will come to pass there. Your heart desire will be given unto you there. He said, when you go through that door, you'll come into your new life. You will live in a total new life. Everything is different and new for you. And there, he talked about the joy that you're going to have in that new life, my brother and sister. We were like, wow, that is so incredible. Everything you have gone through until this moment, he said, here now, come to fulfillment. We were all excited and anxious to do the last test and to go through that door and to come into our new life. My brother and sister, he also talked about the darkness that was to cover the earth. And for this reason, he says, as you see how the darkness that covered the earth, he's talking about the vaccine, the mandates, the viruses, and the worst things that are beginning to happen, my brother and sister. As you see these things that are coming to pass, he said, as he has said in his word, now was the time. He says, this for this reason, these are the sign for me to take you out and bring you into your future, your new life, my brother and sister. As we see these things intensify, become even more on the earth, these variants, these virus. He said that it was time. These are the signs he's given us in his word that will let us know, these signs and wonders that will let us know it was time for him to take us out, he said. My brother and sister, my Lord, my God, hallelujah. These were the signs, he says, that it was signs. He also said that the reason why we needed to see them was because we were his witnesses. My brother and sister, his witnesses. And we needed to see until this moment. My brother and sister, which is exciting. Hallelujah. We are witnesses, so we needed to see these things come to pass. But he says that these were signs given to us, and that would told us clearly that it was time for us to be taken out. The departure he's talking about. My brothers and sisters, I saw some of my brothers and sisters got up. He says, you may start taking the test. And I saw when they started taking the test, and some finished the test and walked to the door. As more than half of my brothers and sisters have taken the test, I noticed, oh man, I was a bit concerned about this test, about failing the test. But I just noticed that the test, as long as you're trusting in the Lord, as long as God helping you, the Lord helping you, you cannot fail the test. Right? Because he's prepared us to pass the test. And I saw my brothers and sisters taking the test, and everybody was passing the test. My brother and sister, I was so concerned because you start thinking, so what is this test about? What happened is I failed this test. For a moment there, my earthly mind began to wonder, my brother and sister. But no, we that were there, it's because the test was our own life. The trial of your faith produces patience. That's what the word of God has done in our life. It has produced patience. And the fact of us having patience is that we haven't given up. If the word had not produced patience in you, you would have given up. Jesus is the word that you read and believe. And when that word goes into you, when he goes into your life, when you open your heart and your mind, your life, and he comes into you, he produces patience for you to wait. He helps you and I wait. And he let us know in that class, when we're all sitting down, that if we made it to the end, if we were there, was because, hallelujah, he helped us. He helped us to be there. We believe, we endure, we persevere till the end. My brother and sister, hallelujah. We persevere, we endure to the end. So that was exciting, that he is the one helping us to make it to this, to the end, to endure, to persevere in him. Thank you, Lord. We are so grateful for Jesus and his help over our lives. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I was excited to finish. Hallelujah. But there were other students in front of me, brothers and sisters, that were getting up. I was like almost in the last aisle. And so it began with those that were in front who was getting up to go take the test, and they were taking the test, and he would say, you may go through the door. You may enter. So then they were going through the door, enter into a new life. There was a sister I saw that she entered through the door, and like a glory came over her. She went into that glory. And I heard when she said, oh, wow, much more than what I expected, she said. Oh, much more than what I expected, she said. My Lord. The glory covered her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. She said it was much more than what she expected. Thank you, Lord. Praise to God. Jesus is the door of the sheep. Hallelujah. Those that will enter will find pasture. It's waiting for you. Hallelujah. If you made it so far, if you made it this far, you're about to enter. If you made it this far, he said, you will enter. Hallelujah. It's through the testing and trial of our faith. The coronavirus is a test, and so is the vaccine, and so is the mandate, and so is everything that is around us coming against us. This all has been a part of the test and trial of our faith. And the Lord, who knows everything, he knew who he elected, selected, out of the whole multitude in the world, billions of people. He elected and selected a few. And he knows who's going to make it to the end. He's giving everyone the same opportunity to repent daily. That's another thing I understood when we were sitting in class, because he mentioned it. He says you're repenting in relationship. Hallelujah, with God is what helps you to be here, my brother and sister. But he said it, daily repenting, daily confession, daily seeking him. Hallelujah, who daily seek him as he commanded. Those that did that, he said in class. Those that obeyed that did what they were asked to do, are you that are here, he says. And when I looked around to each and one of us, I knew that everyone sitting in the class has been the brothers and sisters that have been repenting, confessing, repenting daily, confessing the sin daily, walking truly with God, repenting to him, my brother and sister, that have taken it very serious. And the Lord was the one who helped us to make it to the end, my brother and sister. Everybody else in the class practically was allowed to go through the door. But I had to come back here and tell you about it. I was not allowed to go through the door again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I was not allowed to see the other side of the door. I could see a bit when the door was open. When someone would go through the door, everyone was experiencing God in a special way. My brother and sister, that was the exciting part. Brother was going in through, and God was waiting for them and receiving them in a special way, untold, unheard. And the word, they may say a word at first, then they could not say anything else after that. They knew he was more wonderful than what they ever heard him. They ever heard about anything they ever heard about God. When they faced God at that moment, they had no word like Job. Remember Job? When God came and spoke to Job in the cloud, the Bible said that Job decided to be quiet and could not say any more word. That's how you're going to be and I when we're before him. That's it, no more words. There's nothing you can say anymore because he has more than your expectation. He'll show you more. You'll see more of him than what you think of him. He will blow your mind. Some people express it that way because you say he is more. Sister say, oh, he is more. That was the first word when she got a glimpse of God. And then she could not say anything else. She just went into his glory. Oh, my Lord, my God. My brother and sister, thank you, Jesus. You see that it's all worth it to endure and persevere. And that teacher, our rabbi, our Lord, wanted to let us know that what we have done, as they say, will pay off, will give you great reward, is the word. Will give you great reward when you meet God. And he will be more than your expectation. My brother and sister, you will have no worries because he will reveal himself to you in a special way, known by nobody, but only you. Thank you, Lord. How can this be? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Now, I want to talk about this test. I want to go a little bit into this test that you and I have been called into. And the great example in the Bible about this test is Abraham, our father, our faith. The Bible says, my brother and sister, that in Genesis 22, that it came to pass after these things. Huh? It came to pass after these things. What things? After what things? After he called you, after he promised you, after he blessed you, as he multiplied you and gave you all his promise. Okay? After he revealed himself to you and you are without no word, he on the earth, after he made all the promises, it came to pass after these things, that God tested Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. Abraham answered God as a humble man of God. Abraham did not question anything of God. You know why? Because when God revealed himself to Abraham, he never revealed his name to Abraham, but he revealed himself as one of his mighty name, the Almighty God. There were many gods in Abraham's family. Abraham knew of many gods, but not of the Almighty God. And when the Almighty God revealed himself to Abraham, Abraham's life was completely changed. His heart was for God completely. My brother and sister. Then he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Get thee unto the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I will tell thee of. Praise you, Jesus. Even the mountain. I know a lot of people read this story fast, and a lot of times you don't get to see things that God wants you to see. Even the mountain. Remember the calling of Abraham when God told him to leave his parents' land and leave all his side of the family, unto a land that I will show you. Here begins his walk with God by faith. Notice that everything about Abraham, everything God did in the life of Abraham, because he was chosen to be the father of faith, an example to you and I, has to do by faith all. He has to do everything by faith. You and I have to do everything by faith, my brother and sister. He said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Give me what you love, Abraham. The things that you love more, give it to me, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. That's why we are told to give our tithes and offering to God. Because where our money is, our heart is also. Because God knows we follow in love with things. And if we are in love with God only, if we love God more than everything else, we have no problem giving everything to God. And God wanted to show how faithful Abraham is. God already knows how faithful Abraham is. God already knows your heart. Don't think that you're going to convince God of anything. Because God already knows everything about you. My dear sister, my dear brother, God can reveal you to other people if he wants, as he's doing with Abraham now. My brother and sister, thank you. For where your treasure is, there will also be your heart. Or your heart will be awesome, sorry. Take now thy son, Isaac, whom thou love, get thee into the land of Moriah. Offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountain which I tell you. Not one time do Abraham complain to God about sacrificing Isaac. My brother and sister, if this man of God can be so faithful to God, imagine his son when he had the cross on his back going to be crucified. He also can be quiet through the process and not complain. A great example to us. Abraham is taking his only son Isaac that he loves so much and taking him to sacrifice him to God. In his age, he's thinking, first he could not have Isaac because of old he was. And he could not have no more children then. unless God did another miracle. My brother and sister, there's a lot of things you and I are going to receive in the most difficult and impossible time by miracle. When we trust and believe God, we must get there like Abraham. So he takes his son Isaac to bring him to the mountain to crucify him, to kill him, to murder him, to sacrifice him, crucify him. My brother and sister, and obedient to God. Verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and settled his ass, took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son. He cleaved the wood for a burnt offering, rose up and went to the place which God had told him. You see, do you see the obedience of Abraham? No complaint. Well, I'm not going there. It's too uncomfortable. How am I going to get up there with this boy and the wood and the donkey? That's impossible. See, people complain about things that we should not even complain. Like Abraham, God wants us to be obedient and do what he asks us to do. Because sometimes when even it looks impossible, he'll help us. He'll help us, my brother and sister. Even when it looks impossible, he'll help us. So this is why he wants us to be obedient. Because even when we see things impossible, he'll make it possible for us. Thank you, Lord. Verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw that the place was far off. On the third day, Jesus was raised by God on the third day. Days are significant and even second and minute. When you read about days and hours, don't ignore them. Because this third day applied to Jesus, my brother and sister. Verse 5, Abraham said unto his young men, unto this moment, for 3 days Abraham did not speak. For 3 days, he did not speak at all. Now on the third day, Abraham said unto his young men, abide here, see here what he has, and I will go yonder and worship and come to you again. What do some people say? Oh, this is too much. I can't worship. No, this is too much. I'm going to do what? And then I'm going to go worship? Where am I going to have the strength? Where am I going to have the will to do this? And they began to speak negative before they obey God. God doesn't want us to think this way. Let's think like Abraham. A lot of time it's better to be quiet. Most of the time it's better to be quiet. My brother and sister. Abraham, for 3 days he was quiet. On the third day, he decided to speak. And the only thing he spoke was to go worship God. Let me go worship, because what he's saying is positive, is motivating, is good. Let's hold on here and let me go worship. My brother and sister. Someone else said, oh, no, you better come with me. Leave the donkey there. No, you better come with me. You need motivation. You need focus. You need this. You need that. A lot of time you don't need to pull the other person. Encourage the person. But don't tell them, well, I'm doing this, you need to do it the same. No. Don't obligate people to do anything. Pray for them. Encourage them. Pray for them. Remember that. That was his son. Why couldn't he bring his son to go worship? What is wrong with worshiping together? It's awesome. Some people, oh, I had nobody to worship or seek God with. And Abraham had no problem with that. I go worship my God. I go worship my Lord. I'll be back. My brother and sister. Okay? It's important that we understand what God is teaching us through this man. Verse 6. Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and knife, and they went both on them together. My brother and sister, a lot of the story you hear about Isaac and the wood was that Abraham laid the wood and then put Isaac on top. That's not what the Bible says. Let's refresh what the Bible says, because I know you have watched the movie and you have seen Abraham in the movie laying the wood and then putting the child on top. Let's read the word. Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac, his son. You see how men does things opposite? You know why they do it opposite? They lay, in the movie, they lay the son upon the wood, not actually as it happened. Because if you do it the other way around, it will look cruel. It will look cruel. You lay the sacrifice and you put the wood on top. That's cruel. You're putting all that weight. Remember how much that wood weighed? This is a child we're talking about. This is a child. You lay in the child and then you're putting the wood on top of the child. You know how much weight you're putting on the child? You don't see that in the movie. You see the opposite. You know, he cares so much about Isaac not to hurt him. He laid the wood and then put him on top. Nonsense and foolishness. That's the mentality of men, my brother and sister. The men of faith look to pleasing God and not men. The men of faith, the woman of faith, look to pleasing God and not men. And will do as what God has said. Not the other way around, my brother and sister. Okay? So Abraham took the word and the burnt offering, lay it upon Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and knife, and they went both on them together. Huh? They both went on together. So it sounds to you like someone who, he doesn't sound like someone who is not expected to do the sacrifice. He's acting as someone who is willing, who is doing what God asked him to do. My brother and sister. Verse 7, and Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, my father, he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the offering? Until this moment, Isaac is quiet. He speaks, and now he asks for the sacrifice. What happened? He finally began to understand what his father's doing, that he is the sacrifice. My brother insisted. But Bible said that God has chosen unto himself a lamb. In other words, God got his lamb. Abraham is being obedient. And at this moment, Isaac don't know where the lamb is. Abraham says, my son. Praise the Lord. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb and the burnt offering? Abraham says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both then together. Praise the Lord. I'm willing to do what God wants, but I also know what God said. You see? Knowledge. Knowledge. Wisdom. I'm willing to do what God said, what God is telling me to do, commanding me to do. But I'm also knowing and understand, I'm doing it with the understanding that he's going to provide unto himself for a lamb, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Because Abraham walked with God. How did he know this? That his son was not the lamb. Because Abraham walked with God. One thing the Lord let me know in that class when we were sitting down is, that those that were there, that he had chosen, that he selected, elected, knew him. My sheep know me, he says. They knew him because they walked with him. Thou, Lord, let me know they're in class. Thank you, Lord. Verse 9, they came to the place where God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the word in order. Bound Isaac, his son, and lay him in an altar upon the word. I know that God will provide himself a lamb. He has just said it to his son. God will provide a lamb unto himself. What did Joshua say? For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The Lord is asking him to do something. He doesn't see a lamb yet. Okay, I bow my son. I put the wood on top of him. Let God's will be done. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. And the history of Isaac is that down through his descendant, the Lamb of God is born. My brother and sister, it's like if you look into the spirit, the past, the present, the future, are one in the now. Huh? When we look into history, oh, Jesus died 2,000 years ago. Look that in the spirit. Oh, now. Now is Isaac being crucified. Now is Isaac is being offered. The Lord is being crucified. And we are being born of Jesus. My brother and sister, to God, a day is like 1,000 years. This is all happening. This is all one in the spirit. I thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. In our time, it already happened a long time ago. In the spirit, this is now. It's happening to right now. Abraham is offering Isaac. Right now, Jesus is being crucified. So it's like at the same time Isaac is being offered, God already has his lamb. God already provided himself a lamb, the lamb that was crucified before this world was created. And now all this is happening. It's all happening at the same time. My brother and sister, in eternity, it's all happening now. In our time, we're like, what we're doing is we're putting the pieces together. But in the spirit, all the pieces are already together. You see? In the spirit, there's Isaac being offered, Jesus being crucified, and we're being saved. It's all happening all now. We're entering heaven all now. We're already part of eternity all now. We're sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, Paul, the apostle. Paul revealed to the Ephesians, it's all happening now. We're already in heaven. But wait a minute, the rapture has not happened yet. We're sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And the Spirit, it's all now. My brothers and sisters, we're putting the pieces together now in our time. Verse 10, Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife and slayed his son. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Abraham was giving God what it was of God already. The Lord, when he gave me my son Levi, Joshua, and then, remember when the Lord gave me Levi, I was speaking with Jesus in heaven, and he says, my son that I'm lending you to take care, he says, his son. He's giving me a son, but he's calling me his son. My brother and sister. And then reveal me the future of him at the same time he was giving him to me. My brother, the past, the present, and the future is like one in eternity. And the things that we're waiting to pass now, it already happened in God. It's a fact already. In heaven, the rapture is a past. It's part of the past. To many people now, it's part of the present or future. In heaven, it's already part of the past. My Lord, my God, help us understand. Verse 11. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, he said, here I am. Notice that when God came to Abraham at first and blessed him and told him about the seed, how they will be like the star of heaven and the sand of the sea, it already, what he said was already, because those are his promise, my brother and sister. And his promise is amen. Whatever God promised you, it's already yes. I checked with the Lord a few weeks back about this. I prayed to him. And I said, Lord, I heard in the message that what you promised is already yes. And he gave me a yes with a smile. And he said, yes, yes. So, Lord, the house you promised is already there. And he said, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Lord, is it paying full? He said, yes, it is. Huh? We don't know this language on the earth. We don't know that language. We know that our Bible said that with God all things are possible. But we don't understand that past, present, all being one. And whatever he promised, he already answered. Because when he spoke in the word, it already came to pass. We don't know that language. As is known in heaven. We got a lot to learn when we go to heaven. We have a lot to learn. Remember Father was speaking to me in eternity? And I was looking to my left and there was nothing there. And when he said, all this I have for my children, when I look, I began to see all kinds of gifts he has for his children. And the moment he spoke it was. We're not used to that. We're not used to that, my brother and sister. Well, we better get used to it because that's the way it is with God. With God, all things are possible. That's why when Sarah laughed, when God promised Isaac and Sarah laughed, the Lord said, if anything too hard for the Lord, because what he already has spoken already was, it was already in her womb. It takes 9 months for a woman to have a baby. I come back to you next year, Sarah will be with a child, he says. He will be 9 months, it's 12 months to a year, so he will be 3 months old when I'm back. And the moment he spoke Isaac to Abraham, he was in her belly already. Are you listening? And the moment he spoke Isaac to Abraham and Sarah, hallelujah, I believe Sarah was feeling the spoken word going into her belly of God. We have prayed for women, and they feel this coldness, and it tickles in her belly, and they're laughing. Like Sarah, they're laughing on the floor. They're holding their belly, I remember in the service, and they were laughing under the anointing and power of God in the floor. My brother and sister. So that gives us a new understanding. And the moment he spoke the word, this time, next year I come to you and Sarah will be with a child. When the Lord came back, Isaac was 3 months old already. That means in the very moment that he spoke in the word, Sarah felt the coldness and tickleness in her belly, and she was laughing. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Remember, Abraham was too old already. But God gives strength to the old, renew the strength to his people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. A lot of old people can testify and tell you how God has given them energy, strength, and youth to be able to preach the gospel and go around doing so. With more energy, they're in the 70 and 80, and they have more energy than people in the 40 and 30s. How is that possible? When you ask them, what do they say? The Lord, God, is the one helping me, giving me the energy, giving me the strength. That a lot of people don't know. What is he talking about? How can you be 80 and be going around the world? How can you be 80 and be walking 20, 25 miles every day preaching? when I cannot even walk 3 miles of exercise or 5 miles of exercise. How is that possible? You can walk 25 miles of 80 years of age. And they say, the Lord gave me the strength. There's a lot of things we don't know that God is doing because of a lack of faith. And it's not, each and one of us has an amount of faith. But in the Lord, we got to grow in faith, my brother and sister. That's what that is. We have still things to grow. When we go to heaven, we're going to continue to grow to level. It's going to be told to us in heaven, you could have grown to this level on earth. And we'll be like, with all the stuff going on earth, we could have done that. And they'll say, yes, you could. If you would have only focused on Jesus and pray every day and not even worry how many hours you pray, how many days you fast. Some people, they say, I only pray 1 hour every day or 15 minutes. They tell God how long they're going to pray. God say pray instead of going on the floor or going on their knees or even sitting, however they pray. Instead of praying for several hours until God leads them, they want to go pray an hour and then get up and go do something else. When God can lead them to pray, like Brother Larry, 16 and a half hour every day. I saw it with my own eyes. My brother and sister and I was stunned. 16 and a half hour every day he prayed. God called him to do so. And he says, yes, my brother and sister. And he prayed those many hours. I was there when he got up about 4 o'clock in the morning, I believe it was, to pray. About 5:30 in the morning, he was praying in tongue. God was giving him new tongue. And he was praying so loud that I could not sleep. I was a guest in his house. Brother Larry got up to pray about 4 o'clock in the morning. He was speaking in tongue. My brother and sister, the most beautiful tongue I can hear him speaking. He was uttering out of his mouth. He was speaking language I never heard. He was speaking the Asian language in tongue as the Lord was giving it to him. And it was like tongues of fire. Bible talks about tongues of fire. And I could feel it all over my body also as he was speaking them. My brother and sister, it was incredible. Incredible power and anointing. The cloud of glory was over his house. The place was full of angels. My brother and sister, the presence of God was so strong in the house that I could not even sleep. I don't know if you ever experienced this in the Lord, that the presence of God, you're tired, you're sleepy, and you go into bed, but the presence of God is so strong that you cannot sleep. That's what happens to me that morning in his house. His wife got up also to pray afterward, and it was an incredible presence of God, my brother and sister, all morning long. I went into prayer. It was a tremendous glory of God in that place. Then, Brother Larry, 9:30 in the morning, 9:15 I believe it was, he stopped praying because his wife was going to, if he was not fasting that day, his wife was going to make him breakfast, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. But I believe he was fasting that week. So she was doing it for herself because she's a teacher. She was going to school, my brother and sister. He asked me if I was going to travel long distance. I said, yes, my brother and sister. That was like on a Tuesday morning, I believe it was. But the cloud of glory in the presence of God was incredible. And the more you were in it, the more you wanted to stay in it. You don't want to come out of that glory. And it was about every day this way. Every day. Because he was praying 16 and a half hours, my brother and sister. most of it all morning long speaking in tongue as he was giving him. And God had him pray for so many people specifically. He was giving him to pray for them. My brother and sister, the testimony he was getting of what God was doing in other people's life because of his prayer was incredible. My brother and sister, family was experiencing God in a new level. My brother and sister, it's possible. It's possible. It's possible. We got to let him teach us. We're going to learn these things in heaven. And God may call him or someone else as an example and say, come here, my son. How many hours did I ask you to pray? And he'll testify and say, and I ask these other people to do it, and they say, no. Not even 1 hour, not even 2 hours, not even 3 hours. We make too much excuses. My brother and sister, we want to tell God how to keep his word. We want to tell God how to be a Christian. Instead of God telling us how to, people, the churches are telling God, they have a program. They have books that they follow on how to be a Christian, how to bring a new believer into the church, and to teach them to pray. If not, call the pastor of the church and pray for them. And they teach people to be dependent on men and never to form that relationship with the Lord that he expects from each and one of us to have with him. My brother and sister, there are people really walking close with the Lord. I could see it in that class. Hallelujah. And the Lord was very happy. Very happy with them. He's very happy with those that are spending time with him. That are not worried about what's happening in the world. They're not worried about that. It's not like that doesn't matter or like they don't care. It's that God matters the most. And they only have time to seek him. That's what that is. Because a lot of people think that if you're disconnected from the world, you don't care. But if you're disconnected from the world and then praying for soul to be saved, you care the most. My brother and sister, because you're asking God to save them, to reveal himself to them. Thank you, Lord. Verse 12. And he said, lay now thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Hallelujah. Abraham did not withheld what he loved. And a lot of times that's what we do. We withheld, we hold back the things that we should be given to the Lord. We hold them back. A heart, your tears, everything that is in you, your emotion, everything. You got to love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. When you go into prayer, give everything to him. Get your worry. Give your concern. Let him know how you feel and cry. What was the last time you cried in prayer? What was the last time you weep in prayer and you cry and cry and cry and cry before his presence and give everything to him? I hear a lot of people talking about worship. It's great. And worship, God ministers to you. Amen. And you minister to God. But what about giving everything from you to him? All your worry and concern and not worrying about anything, but letting him guide you and lead you. Verse 13. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught, taken by the horn. Abraham went and took the ram, offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. The provision of God came to Abraham. When Abraham believed that God had an offering for himself, I was so happy when Jesus revealed to me that every lamb that Israel offered unto him, he made it appear among his cattle. It was not a lamb that was born amongst their cattle. but it was one that God made appear. Because I heard about Israel looking for the red heifer around the earth. In the United States, everywhere, Israel are willing to pay thousands of dollars for a red heifer. And every time they found one, in a few days will go bad. And I wanted to know from the Lord if this is the way it was, that Israel would have to look for a heifer, a sacrifice, for unto the Lord. And the Lord showed me that it would never came from them. It came from God himself. And right when they needed a heifer, when they needed a sacrifice, God made it appear among the cattle because it was highly inspected to make sure there was no damage. There was nothing in it, my brother and sister. Nothing. Hallelujah. And the rabbis checked it, and they can witness one day before God that there was nothing wrong with the heifer that they found. And the testimony in the Bible, God, what God does is perfect. And what God offered is holy. That heifer was holy. The Lord showed me how not even a mosquito or a fly can come on the heifer, because he protected the heifer for a fly or a mosquito or anything to come on. None were allowed. God himself made sure under his power. And he showed me. And I marvel at this. My brother and sister, it's so incredible the things he can reveal you that you read in the Bible and you think are coincident, but when he reveals it to you, they're not coincident. They're a miracle of him. It's mighty power, my brother and sister. Abraham, when he lifted his eyes and looked, my brother and sister, was he not looking before? He first believed, and then he looked. People today do the opposite. They look. They look. God is asking you to believe first, like Abraham. And then you will see. Then you will see. After God have made all these promises to Abraham in this chapter, Abraham is, yes, amen, amen. He's believing, amen, 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 amen. And he's still waiting. And then he looked at all these promises were made. After God has spoken, that word of God was immediately went to work. Immediately that heifer appeared there. Unhorned, unmarked, unscratched, perfect. Caught by a branch. Not even the branch that was holding the ram by the horn can scratch the ram, my brother and sister. Not even, because if it was, Abraham would have said, no, Lord. You're going to have to do another miracle because this one is crushed. It needed to be perfect. Perfect. My brother and sister. Perfect. And he was going to inspect it. My brother and sister. And then offer it. Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. Or Jireh. Or Jireh. That is, the Lord will provide. It is said this day in the mount that the Lord shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh, my brother and sister, the Lord will provide. How did he provide? First is by faith and not by sight, the Bible said. Got to get into that faith. I heard of this preacher that God is doing miracle through his ministry, that he tells people to ask Jesus to come in them and give them the faith to receive. He said, because this is the way it is. You ask the Lord to give you the faith, and then you'll receive. Ask the Lord to give you the faith to receive. Lord, give us the faith to receive miracle, receive full supply, to receive everything we're going to need, Lord. And this hard time coming, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Now, the weeks, in the middle of the week, the Lord took me into the days ahead of the things that are coming, my brother and sister. Next year, 2022, will be a year. Things will start changing, my brother and sister. Things are going to start changing in our country. There will be riots. And that is the beginning. 2022 will be beginning of all that coming. The Lord took me in the spirit there again this week. I was there, and I began to see people rioting. This I did not expect. Our power was off, was out. People were complaining when I arrived there about power outages. And someone said, what power? We had none. So it must have been beyond 2022. I know that the Lord has shown me all the way to 2029. I don't remember seeing power outages in 2022. First time he showed me, my brother and sister. So this revelation can go beyond 2022. I know trouble begins. Food prices will rise unthinkable in 2022. And it will go on. That's what will be the first year.